earlier this morning, and I bet you this happens a lot, especially in the trucking industry. Had a bloke, 28-year-old Adam. Adam rang because he's been driving for 2 years with a trucking company as an escort driver on oversized vehicles. And a month ago, he got his HR license, heavy rigid. He's 28. And he says that he has knocked on so many doors, he cannot find work as an HR driver because apparently within the trucking industry, they don't hire people unless they have at least 2 years' experience. How do you get 2 years' experience if no one gives you a start is the question. And is that reason because of insurance premiums? I'm just wondering. I also want to talk this morning about the unemployment figures. They're going up. What's going on here? Unemployment's continuing its steady grind higher. It's hitting 5.3%. Unemployment has risen steadily since its decade-long low of 4.9% back in February. To talk about that and a few other things, our employment expert Graham Wynn's joining me. G'day, Graham.
Good morning, Luke. How are you
today? I'm good. Graham is from Superior People Recruitment. Just quickly, let's talk about this young bloke, Adam, who rang me. Do you hear this a lot?
Unfortunately, yes, we do hear this a lot. Employers are insisting, particularly an HR license or any sort of trade or any skilled work, they're wanting 2 years' experience, at least sometimes 3 years' experience. And how do you get
it? No, gives you,
exactly right. But I'll be honest with you, Luke, that existed when I first started looking for work. Employers were then saying you need experience, and that hasn't changed for 40 years. It's a problem we've got still, that employers are insisting on experience. How do you get it if no one gives you a chance?
Well, we've had some really kind people ring in with some ideas and some contacts for Adam, and he's going to stay in touch with us. There was one recruiting company in Brisbane that we've passed on to him. Another person knows personally of a truck, the owner of a trucking company that might give him a go. But I think it comes down to insurance. These drivers are driving trucks worth a lot of money. And they're scared to put them in the hands of someone who's only got a month's experience, I think.
That's a strong possibility, yes, absolutely, yes. And you'll find generally smaller companies will give people more of a chance than larger ones because they themselves know what it's like to get started, so they will quite often be more prepared to give somebody a chance. But the larger companies generally want experience every time. Yeah.
If anyone's got any suggestions, please call us. We're running out of time this morning, but I'd love to hear your thoughts and we'll pass them on to Adam. He seemed like a really nice bloke, you know, so we'd like to be able to help him. What's this going on with small businesses being left with no choice but to fork out thousands of dollars to sacked staff, even when their unfair dismissal claims are unworthy? Apparently, businesses and industry groups are calling for an overhaul of the fair or unfair dismissal code. What's the story?
So basically, what the story here is employers who employ less than 15 people fall under this unfair dismissal. And people who then say, well, I've been dismissed unfairly, will then take legal action quite often, unfortunately. And it turns out about 90% of these cases get resolved before it actually gets to the courts because the employer simply says, I need to pay these people out. Even they've done the right thing because they don't need the hassle of going to courts and going through legal issues and time. They end up making a payment to the sacked person who they believe was dismissed fairly just to get rid of them. So about 90% of these cases get settled before they actually reach the court.
So even if somebody takes their employer to court or to Fair Work and says, I have been unfairly dismissed and it falls over, the employer is still forking out money.
Correct. And part of the issue is that the employer just says, we need this to go away. We don't need the hassle. We don't need the publicity. We don't need the time. Yes, we've done the right thing, but we need this to go away. Let's just pay him some money. What's it going to cost us? It'll be cheaper in the long run. Away we go. There's some more money. Off you go.
Now, I got a phone call from a news agent who told me that they suspected one of their staff members had been stealing. Sadly, they were right. They put in cameras and they proved that this employee was, in fact, stealing directly from the till, and they were very upset about it because it was someone that they'd had on their books for a long time and they'd sort of almost considered this person part of their family. But sadly, they caught them. They had the proof. They dismissed the person, went to Fair Work. The unfair dismissal charge was thrown out, but they still ended up having to pay them.
Yeah. And that can be because part of the wording of the unfair dismissal, everything comes under what they call a summary dismissal.
Yes.
And what they're saying, we need to change that to have different categories. What is summary dismissal? What is completely assessed? What would be this? And have different categories. By having one general category of summary dismissal, people saying, well, you still need to go through warning procedures, etc. For theft, you shouldn't have to. It's just instant dismissal, absolutely. But because it falls under summary dismissal, people are saying it's not specific enough, so therefore saying I should have had a warning, should have gone through normal procedures. That's why they're claiming unfair dismissal. It was only once or only twice, or you should have given me a warning. And therefore, the employer will simply say, it's easier, let's just pay them out.
Let's just pay them out, and it's costing the employer who's done nothing wrong money. Graeme Wynn, Superior People Recruitment, our employment expert. Just quickly, what's happening with unemployment? It's on the rise.
It's on the rise. It has been rising steadily. It's up to around about 5.3% at the moment, which is quite high. The other thing is there's about 14% of what they call underemployment, people looking for more hours of work as well. So that's increasing also. More part-time work than full-time work is being created. But a lot of this comes down to the population growth as well. So in the last 12 months, we grew by nearly 400,000 people. If we're not creating that many jobs, the unemployment will continue to grow. So we've got to find a way of matching the employment with opportunities with the population growth, or else the unemployment will continue to grow. We're not creating that many jobs for the number of people we're bringing into the country. That is why the unemployment continues to grow.
Yeah, all right. Well, it's interesting stuff. And there's talk that the Reserve Bank will lower interest rates again, either in October, or if not, it'd be Melbourne Cup Day, November.
Yes, exactly right, yes. Because their ideal figure is unemployment around 4.5%. That's what they think is the right figure. But we keep increasing. We're up to 5.3 now. And as I say, the underutilisation is nearly 14%. And that means people wanting more hours. So if these people wanting more hours simply say, well, I'll stop doing the 2 or 3 hours or whatever because it's not worth it, they will therefore become unemployed further down the track as well. And it will keep increasing for sure, yes.
Okay, thought bubble before I let you go for the weekend. Thought bubble. Interesting caller during the week who suggested how hard it is to get ahead. It's not worth getting a second job because of the tax. He said, what about you make someone's second job or third job tax-free? Now, hear him out. He said it might sound ridiculous, but if your second job is tax-free and you give that as an incentive for someone to work hard and try and get ahead, that money will eventually go back into the economy. What do you think? And if the money does go back into the economy, of course, the government gets a little bit through the GST. Your thoughts?
Interesting thought, that one. I suppose the only problem I would have with that is if this second job pushes people over working 40 hours a week, then potentially somebody else who could get a job is cut out of the market. So I think I could see some benefit if that second job doesn't take you over 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
Yes,
you wise old thing. Like, very, very good, very good. Graeme, we're always good to talk to you. If people want to talk about employment issues through the week, how do they get you?
Just go to our website, superiorpeople.com.au.
Always good to talk, Graeme. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, Luke.
Bye.